there are some concerns that lay a significant impact on the business dynamics and legal aspects of the prevention of foot and mouth disease. To tell us more, we join now by Lucinda Roeder, agricultural legal expert at Clifdecker Hofmeyr CDH, to give us some insight into this conversation. Lucinda, thank you so much for your time and joining us tonight. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good evening to you and your listeners.
I must tell you, Lucindy, I spent some time in KZN over the December period and drove past some of the cattle farms in southern Drakensberg. And everywhere we went, you could see the tracking and tracing, sprays and disinfections process that were being implemented by various farmers, all of whom were doing their best to protect their livestock. So maybe let's just start there, you know, an understanding of the severity of this particular challenge and the kind of threat it presents for commercial farmers.
I think that the starting point must be that all agricultural businesses and specifically livestock owners are subject to robust legal obligations and control measures during a foot and mouth disease outbreak. And these requirements are mainly set out, as your listeners may know, in the Animal Diseases Act and the regulations that has been promulgated there under. And foot and mouth disease is also classified as a controlled animal disease, which imposes, you know, a legal duty, not just a duty, a legal duty on animal owners or managers even to take all reasonable steps to prevent their animals from becoming infected and also to prevent the spread of any disease from their animals and their land to others. And that's why you have seen the control measures, the restriction on animal movement. All your animal movements must be clearly documented. There are, you know, biosecurity practices. So you must almost put a halt on breeding practices, isolation protocols, and it has a huge cost and a huge impact on your farmers.
Yep.
And I think what is very important is that a failure, and that's why you saw the frantic action going on, is because a failure to report controlled diseases or implement the required measures constitutes offences under this Act, which can lead to farmers being fined or even imprisoned, or both. So there's severe consequences on farmers if they do not comply with the Act and the control measures, you know, and with the regulations promulgated under that.
Yeah. Listen, to help us understand how to read this, because it seems as though there's just a heightened level of risk that is actually borne and absorbed by the farmer, you know, almost trying to ensure that they keep their livestock safe. But at the same time, if there are any leakages or flouting of rules in their system, whether deliberately or unintentionally so, the consequences still lie with them.
Without a doubt. And remember, you now have the statutory consequences, which is an offense in terms of the Act, which can cause them to be fined, even imprisoned. But there's also a commercial impact, a massive commercial impact on the farmers. You have the restrictions of on movement, quarantine may lead to farmers that have supply agreements with retailers, with abattoirs, that all of a sudden can no longer fulfill their obligations. Then you sit with a situation where there's overherding on your farm because you can't move your cattle, you can't send them to the offsink points. So there's practical implications. You know, the grazing lands are being damaged, and where must the come from to correct that? It has a huge financial impact on your farmers. You have your export agreements that's been compromised. Export markets have been shut, some of them. We know China, we know some of our African countries, or they have imposed such high export regulations, requirements, sanitary requirements, that it actually becomes commercially very difficult for farmers to export their products. So they're getting it from all sides.
are there interventions that need to be put in place beyond, I guess, what we've heard from the Ministry of Agriculture looking to vaccinate our cow population, cattle population?
You know, I think there's scientific interventions and prevention measures that I'm obviously not qualified to comment on, but any intervention mechanism or plan, we know that Minister Steenhuisen has this plan, a phased-in plan over 10 years, which is a robust plan. It's robust. As you said, it deals with mass vaccinations. But what one must always keep in mind is any plan of this nature can only have a positive income insofar as you have the necessary political commitment, you have the funding, and you have the required infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
If one has that together with strong enforcement and, of course, reliable vaccine supply, then I think it can, you know, it can definitely have a positive outcome and get us back to where we were, or close to where we were before this outbreak.
To close off with, please guide us on some of the potential risks that continue to exist, not only for the agricultural space, but the multiplier effect and the consequence. As you've mentioned, abattoirs, I can imagine meat processes, processing firms, even right down to restaurants and other industries, perhaps, that might interface with livestock and beef and meat as a product.
Exactly. So one must look at it not only from the perspective of the farmer, but one must also look at it from the perspective of the larger economy. We know that, let's just look at the export markets. Some of the key export risks during this outbreak is either the closure of export markets or the sustained closure of export markets.
Mm-hmm.
There's substantial revenue losses for affected sectors. It would be not only your meat sector, your retail sector, your farming sector, but also your hospitality sector. As you say, prices are going sky high, and there is several negative knock-on effects that happen. So, you know, there is a potential of further suspension of key export markets. There is the potential of the imposition of trade restrictions, and this will, of course, prejudice and weaken the confidence international markets has in South Africa as an agricultural exporter. Then one mustn't forget about the physical impact foot and mouth disease has on livestock.
Yeah.
There's weight loss, there's lower fertility. All of that can lead to a decrease for a farmer of his income-producing stock, which together with the increase on the other side of expenses, they must payment for quarantine, certificates, vaccinations, has a negative impact on the profitability of these farming operations. That then has a knock-on effect on farmers who may or may not be able to fulfill their financial commitments to commercial banks.
Yeah.
It may lead to farmers losing their farm, foreclosures on their bonds, may lead to insolvency. And that, of course, job losses. And we know there's a lot of small towns that absolutely rely on the agricultural production and farming that goes on there for work and for job losses. So the social impact ultimately is negative and is huge.
100%. Lucinda, thank you so much for your time. We are definitely going to keep following up on this story and trust that the interventions that the ministry and other institutions put in place really do alleviate the pressure we see of FMD. Thank you again for your time.
It's my pleasure. Have a good evening.
Likewise. Lucinda Rudi, who is an agriculture legal expert at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, helping us understand the commercial consequences from a regulatory point of view that impact farmers who are impacted and affected by foot and mouth.